Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Our conversations with Mark Grody brought to you by global biotech company Horizon Therapeutics, where our mission to transform patients' lives is personal. What's up, Moby Dicka?
What's happening, Parko and Spiegs? It's a very positive energy up here. I should say an excited energy because it's vacation time. Always interesting when the bye week hits. I mean, even in the locker room yesterday, you could kind of feel it like, we're getting the hell out of here. It was a loss, but it felt like, in some ways, a win just because it is the bye week for this team that, and it seems like this is what we say about teams on the bye always, they could really use the bye week. So that's kind of where things are for the Bears right now.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's the last day of school before Christmas break,
That's it, Speaks. That's it. No matter what's going on in your life, personal wins, losses, it's like, yo, I'm out of here.
That's right. I'm going sledding. I'm gonna have hot cocoa. I'm gonna play so much video games.
Well, it's funny, guys, because a lot of times we moan and groan as reporters up here if things aren't running exactly on time. They were actually running earlier. The players were like, I'll talk. Let's do it now. Let's get the heck out of here. So that created a little bit of a stir up here with some of the early talkers today. But it's all good. And in this Bears hit, guys, you're going to hear from Equanimeous St. Brown, who everybody is blaming for Justin Fields' first interception in crunch time of that game. Also, Jalen Johnson, your guy, will make an appearance in this Bears hit. You'll be very surprised when you hear the answer if whether or not he's on a Pro Bowl trajectory. But let's start with the head coach, Matt Eberflus. And as you guys know, earlier in the season, Matt Eberflus would give very non-committal answers when evaluating Justin Fields. And he is starting to become more willing to share. In this cut, it has to do with things that superstar quarterbacks do.
Do you see him as a guy who can develop, a quarterback who can develop into the guy who wills performance out of his teammates, wills performance? Is that what it takes to turn these losses into victories?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I would say yes, I believe that to be true. I know the man inside after being with him for a year and the grit he has and the talent he has. No question he's going to get it done.
How about that?
I mean, that's big, a big, huge difference from the tone earlier this year. But Parkins, you sound skeptical.
No, it's not. It's not that. It's I'm glad he's seeing the reality of the reality. You know, like at this point, what else is there but to give an endorsement to Justin Fields, man.
But don't you think that he, as a defensive coach, has spoken and acted like a guy all year who understands the value of the quarterback position? He's not like he's a team builder and a culture builder, but he knows that quarterback trumps all. He knows it.
Absolutely. No, he's been great on it. I think he sounded really good about it. I think to be a skeptic of Justin Fields now, Grody, is to sound ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, this whole season has been about, to some degree, us as reporters trying to get answers out of the talent evaluators like Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, trying to hear from them that this is their guy, that you could, you know,
right.
Say whatever you want about a guy, but it's starting to sound like we are getting the answer to that question. I understand what you're saying, Danny. It's like, duh, of course. But it is an answer. It is okay, we have played, 13 games this season? And it's starting to sound like, while Justin Fields still has a ways to go to complete the process of being a complete quarterback, it is sounding like they are willing to say, without hesitation or ambiguity, that he is their quarterback. And I do think that that's a big change in tone, and I think it's a significant moment, too.
Okay. Hey, I mean, I'll defer to you on the significance of the moment. I remember we had why am I blanking on his name? Joe Davis. We had Joe Davis on, and he was before he called his fourth game, and he was like, what's the difference between the beginning of the year and now? He was like, oh, well, now they know that Fields is their guy. And back at the beginning of the year, they didn't. Like
that's
in,
true.
In like his private conversations, you know? So I just think it has been so readily apparent and obvious on the field the last 6 weeks that if they had doubts that Fields was their guy, they might be blind football evaluators.
Mark Grody, we talked a lot about Luke Getsy on this show already, and some of the situational play calling that was quizzical. After the scramble drill and the N'Keal Harry Guagi moment on the 50-50 ball up there, that's one of the times where they ended up very conservative, oddly so.
Yeah, hell of a catch by Harry. You would think that right after that they would start taking shots to get the ball either in the end zone or closer to it. They did not. The question is in the answer here right now as well. I left that in, so I'll give everybody full context on what we're talking about here from Matt Eberflus on Luke Getsy.
When you get the long ball to Harry, and then you check down for -2, and you run twice, and then you're kicking the field goal. Were you okay with those play calls? And was there a thought that, okay, we got a little momentum in the pass game, let's keep going that way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can always, you know, criticize play calls. You know, people, that's part of the game, right? That's, you know, part of the fun of the media and part of the fun of the fans, of course. But the way I see it is that you know, those were good play calls. If you look at the execution of the run on the one on the third down, if we kick out that, you know, that three technique and run that trap the correct way, that thing is hitting on the safety. So we just got to do a better job of that. I thought it was a good play call and good design.
Yeah,
it's funny, Coach. You know, I can't dispute it. Like, execution is what it is, right? Like the plays are designed to work if they are executed correctly.
All of them.
All of them.
Every play.
It's like every play could come down to execution. Now, sometimes the other team is just better, but like even there's a video going around of the all-22 of that pass out to Claypool on the left that gets stuffed. One of the plays that you hated.
The sideways screen.
Lost a yard, right.
Yeah. Yep. And Pettis just completely blows a block.
Sure.
You know, so it's like if Pettis makes that block, Claypool probably picks up the first down and the play call works.
Yeah, but
it's a weird thing. Like, coaches can always fall back on, well, we just didn't execute.
Absolutely.
They always can do it.
Absolutely. But in this case, it's not just that. I also feel like you have an opportunity the rest of this year to give your quarterback a chance to make a play and learn from it. And we'll talk about some specific plays with Justin maybe in a little bit. There's some plays that it's been obvious he's learning from and developing and more chances to do it. So why not take that opportunity? To give Justin a chance to make plays, you know, at a moment like this, in addition to what's best to try and execute.
Yeah, and also in the name of what you guys were talking about, how there are, you know, a missed block, like Danny said, how there are other things happening on plays that we don't know about, which brings me to our next subject, and that's Equanimeous St. Brown, and that was the interception that Justin Fields threw on what could have been a potential go-ahead drive in crunch time, something that we've all been waiting to see Justin Fields do and do more of, and that is to, you know, win games, and that's part of the superstar package as well. And the popular thing has been that was on Equanimeous St. Brown and not Justin Fields. I will tell you that when I was watching the play from the sideline, it felt like, you know, the one thing that I even said this on the air, that it looked like Justin Fields was staring down Equanimeous St. Brown. But St. Brown, it seems like, has taken the blame for it. Here's what he had to say on Fields' first pick, which was intended for EQ.
Can you take us through what went wrong on the interception, the first interception where Justin was targeting him?
I mean, like I said, they squat on routes. They squat on curl routes, and he's a good player. He made a great play on the curl route that I ran, and yeah, I gotta try to get that ball out sooner.
Was that the only coaching point for you on that? Was to kind of maybe make a better play on the ball, or?
Yeah, I mean, he made a great play. Like, he was sitting right at the depth of my route, so I just gotta try to, you know, get that ball out.
Well, it's impressive restraint not to rip Jair Alexander in some way. I mean, I know the dude made a play, but you made plays on him as well. And I thought Jair Alexander's comments yesterday, which we read earlier, were super mean to EQ St. Brown.
Yeah.
His former teammate. Like, that was.
Did he respond at all to that?
He did not. I'll be honest with you. I was not there for that. Like I told you, everything was running. It was wild. Like, there was two reporters in the room for Equanimeous St. Brown. And thank you to Alex Shapiro of NBC Sports Chicago, mm-hmm. who was nice enough to share this audio with me. But so I was not part of it. And yeah, nowhere in there is that, you know, executed.
Man, because overall, I thought Justin and Tom Thayer called him out for this morning a little bit. Like a little bit of a, not a bus toss, but willing to talk about teammates who didn't quite get things done, including EQ on that play.
Well, I would love to know, like, we one thing that we have never really got, sometimes we learn whose fault it was on an interception, but not always. I'd always like to know if that's not Justin Fields' fault. You know, we talk about, you know, the high interception rate late in game, and generally high interception rate relative to how much Justin Fields throws. I'd love to know who, you know, whose fault it is. I think that is helpful. Instead of just looking at a quarterback's numbers and saying, you know, he's got, you know, 18 picks to 17 interceptions. And I hate to do the cliche, there's a story behind every interception, but there kind of is. And I like knowing this. I like knowing that it might have been Equanimeous St. Brown's fault and not Justin Fields' fault.
Yeah, it looked like it was, and I think that it could be shared blame on some of it, right?
It's sure.
Sometimes there's a
course.
Complete sack, sometimes it's a half sack, right? Like, I think it can be 80-20 on that one was on the receiver. You know, like, Fields maybe needs to know and consider the receiver that he's targeting and where the corner is, but Equanimeous St. Brown needs to be faster out of his route and make a better play on the ball and use his big frame to not let Jair Alexander get in front of him, right? So I think it'd be a combination of a lot of things. We're going to talk to Jalen Johnson at 5:00, but he was in front of the assembled press corps, and I assume most of the media did not miss out on Jalen because he's so awesome to talk to.
Well, he was the grand finale today. So, or maybe it was Eberflus, but he was he was great as he always is. And I am looking at this cut right now, guys, and I do apologize for this. Unless, because I should have alerted Chris Tannehill and Adam Stanczynski, there's a bad word in the cut about whether or not he's on a Pro Bowl trajectory. You guys didn't happen to listen to that and bleep that out, did you guys? Yes, no? Yes, no? No? Yes?
I'm seeing some scrambling on the other side. I'm thinking.
Hold on, we'll get it. We'll get it.
Yeah, I'll play the other one first.
Yeah. Oh, if you guys can work that fast, that's amazing.
You've really upset the water in the Boyquarium across the glass.
Hey. 3-2-1. It was my fault. Usually I like to tip you guys, tip everybody off to when there's a swear. and I forgot to do it because I was a little bit rushed today because you guys moved up my time. See, I just blamed you guys.
Yeah, you did. That was crafty. I mean, you spoke 3 hours ago, in fairness, but okay. Go ahead.
Jerk. Condescending
piece.
Yeah,
hey,
you kind
whoa.
So. No, here's how he said it. You condescending piece of crap. That's kind of how he said it.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
Grody, we go to your first cut if you want. We're back on track for cut number one. I don't want to throw your game off.
Look
here.
How you quick they are.
That is so good. Seriously, I thought I just ruined this whole hit.
Shout out to Tyler Butabar, who's cutting Bears tape today. Had this happens to have had the exact thing that Grody wanted in there and edited.
All right, go to the damn clip.
Buter bro. I call him Buter bro. Anyway, Jalen Johnson, this is such a great – asked if he thinks that he is going to – if he is an all-pro status this year, if he could hit that mark.
Do you think you've had a Pro Bowl season, and do you think it's difficult to get that recognition, A, when you don't have the picks, and B, when you're on a 3-10 team?
I'm going to say no in the fact of I feel like Pro Bowl comes from popularity, and I feel like popularity comes from making highlight plays. And I wouldn't feel that I've had enough highlight plays to be able to say, oh, like I'm a Pro Bowl caliber or like I deserve the Pro Bowl. I think I'm a Pro Bowl caliber person or player. Hell yeah. But I feel like it comes with, like you said, the picks. The picks are looked at as highlight plays. No matter if it's a tip pick, you were beat on a play, the dude falls to the ground, ball pops up. You get two or three of those. Oh, yeah, he's a good guy. He got three picks. Like, you were beat. But it's like for me, it's like I haven't been in those predicaments. I haven't gotten any tip picks. I haven't got all those opportunities that I feel like a lot of people get in the league. And I feel like also, too, being on, in a sense, a losing team, people all like look down on everything that you do individually. It's just kind of, oh, the Bears are just a shit show, or the Bears are this, the Bears are that. So it's like it's hard to gain popularity votes when there's so much negativity surrounding from the outside in.
That's our guy.
He's the
best.
Yeah, he really is great.
Right? I mean, like, he's self-aware. He knows how it works. Damn right it's a popularity contest. You need the highlights.
I like that he also said, like, I wonder if that was a correction or if he also wanted to make mention that he's a Pro Bowl caliber person. He was like, I'm a Pro Bowl caliber person and player.
Oh, man.
Well, I hear he's on at 5 o'clock, so you guys can follow up on what we missed. Yes.
We'll ask him. That is a spectacular answer. And I like the... Other people might say the Bears are a bleep show. Not that I'm saying it.
I would never
say such a thing, but other people might say the Bears are a bleep show.
Exactly. And then I thought
the Bears are just a shit show, or the Bears are this, the Bears are that.
Oh, man.
God, I'm so glad I remembered the bleep. I was so close to letting that be played just now. But you guys would have probably gotten it, right?
Yeah,
so,
we would have had to dump it.
We would have.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, here is one more from Jalen Johnson, because, of course, we had the required reporter asking, what are you going to do during the bye week? And I thought Jalen Johnson had the best answer to that question as well.
I mean, the way I look at it is I can't lose on a bye week. So, I mean, I get to go 1-0 this week. I'm happy about that. Happy about winning some, being able to just, like I said, go back home, being off, relaxing, just gaining the edge mentally.
It's awesome. 1-0.
Yeah, he's not losing this week.
No,
he's not.
He's not
losing this week. That's usually our joke. Well, the Bears aren't going to lose this week. We know that for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Jalen beat us to the punch on that.
Yeah, the other thing we like to say is, remember, you don't have to tell your significant other that it's a bye week if they don't know. Like, if they'd usually leave you in the house to watch football, you can go ahead and pretend that's still the case.
Oh, man. That's scandalous, dude. Yeah, that's terrible. Scandalous. Yeah.
What else we got, Groats? Is Alex Leatherwood going to be a starting right tackle? He was part of the rotation yesterday.
The possibility was left open today by Matt Eberflus. He said that it was a very premeditated rotation, but it was asked, hey, I think the question was posed to him, and this is the truth, I think, like, hey, Riley Reiff might be the better option at right tackle right now. He might be the more effective player, but would it behoove you guys to put Alex Leatherwood in for the rest of, or at least, see what he can do in a complete game? And yeah, I will say Matt Eberflus was receptive to that possibility. I mean, he went back to the whole, anything is possible, but just getting to know Matt a little bit and seeing the way he answered the question, I think that is a possibility that maybe after the bye, guy. You'll see the rotation continue, but I do think I'd be surprised, actually, Speaks, if we don't see a Leatherwood get. Let's see what you can do at right tackle for a whole game.
What other nuggets we got?
As far as the missed extra point, the missed field goal by Cairo Santos, I asked about that, and a lot of times you'll hear that there was a system breakdown, and he basically said that everything was fine. It's on Cairo Santos. He needed to make those kicks, so that was on Cairo. David Montgomery sadly shared with us that he is going to be spending time with his 7-year-old nephew over the bye week, who was recently diagnosed with leukemia, so that was a little heartbreaking moment during his press conference. Eberflus, no, that's the Leatherwood thing. We just talked about that. Last nugget, guys. I have been told by a source that Uber Eats gave Justin Fields a very nice credit to his account after he had, I'm sure you guys talked about this, after he had expressed a little bit of disappointment in his order from Uber Eats. So that's what my source tells me, that he has been taken care of and that he's a happy man in that regard.
It would be smart of them to reach out, make him happy, and also work out some sort of promotional arrangement and commandeer the QB1.
Oh, they did. Yeah, he put a tweet out there, and they're like, whoa, 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 call him now. Get his number and get your money back and get a little bit of credit. So
it just makes me happy when the guys who are probably going to make a few hundred million in lifetime earnings get the free credit because they lost the delivery.
Hey, man.
It's like the Oscar presenter getting like 80K worth of gift baskets.
We all want what we have coming to us. I don't fault the man. Sometimes you got to use your power.
Oh, hey, I don't fault him. It's great. Yeah.
Hey, Mark, one sideline question.
Yeah, sure,
Bears. You see Luke, Luke Getsy running over and screaming for a timeout just before the EQ St. Brown aborted pass on the end around the first quarter. He's not allowed to ask for a timeout nor have it granted by rule in the NFL. I don't know if you saw that, if you were anywhere near it, but I'm curious whether Eberflus was also calling timeout or a player on the field. That's who's allowed to ask for one.
I did not see that, unfortunately. Okay. So I don't know if simultaneously Eberflus was like, back, get back. I got this. Put your hands down. I got this.
That's exactly what I'm wondering.
And unfortunately, with the bye week, it's still an askable question, but it's going to feel like a long time once next Wednesday rolls around. And I guess that's the last nugget, too, guys. The Bears are off. They're out of here. They're gone. I've seen cars zipping out of here. Everybody comes back on Monday.
Wow.
Monday. All right.
Monday's the day. That's what we were just told, that Monday is the first day that they're back and that we are back here at House Hall, gents.
All right, Grody, enjoy your bye week, sir.
Thank you. I will. I will talk to you guys soon. Bears.
Thanks, Groats.
That is Moby Ditka, Mark Grody. We will talk to Jalen Johnson coming up. He's a Pro Bowler in our hearts.
Yes, he is.
Right? You're a Hall of Famer in my book. You're a Pro Bowler in our book, Jalen.
As a person and as a player.
As a person and as a player.
You know who said it yesterday?
Who's that?
Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
What do you call him? A premier player in this league?
A premier player in this league.
Come on now. That's got to feel good.
It's great.
It's also the only guy that he knew in that Bears secondary.
Well, there was a lot of praise going around. Competing halftime shows yesterday. There was national praise and local hijinks. Next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
My decision to change the Super Bowl performance was actually made after the final rehearsal. MTV, CBS, the NFL had no knowledge of this whatsoever. And unfortunately, the whole thing went wrong in the end. I am really sorry if I offended anyone. That was truly not my intention.
Talk to Jalen Johnson in 30 minutes. It's a Horizon Therapeutics Bears Monday. We're parked at the Spiegel on the score. That was Janet Jackson. Spiegs called this the Super Bowl between the Bears and Packers. So the Bears just lost the Super Bowl, in case anyone didn't know. Packers,
so sad.
Packers covered. But you were very hell-bent on making it the Super Bowl. And so we did a halftime show on the Score's Instagram Live.
We did. Yesterday, because I was here watching the game with Manali, and so it was all coming together in the 11 o'clock hour. I'm taking a bus here to the station. I realized, you know what? Let's actually do a halftime show. So Adam Studzinski, who does pre and post, stepped up, and he was the videographer for the halftime show. Pat Manali, of course, the analyst.
That makes sense. That's the role I would have cast him into.
And I was your host, and I realized I can't be the musical guest for the halftime show, because I have to host it. So I thought about who could possibly be the musical guest, and only two names came to mind. One was Janet Jackson, but I didn't think she wanted to redo, you know, a dark moment in her career.
Yeah.
And my second idea was you, Danny Parkins.
I think you made the right choice.
Thanks, man.
No problem.
So wrote a quick rewrite to Let Him Throw, I think your signature hit.
I would like to say so. Yeah, of course. And so, and Fields was showing out a little bit, passing the ball in this game, so it fit. So yeah, so I don't know what Tanny pulled here, but we got a little snippet of the Instagram Live halftime show with Spiegs, Manali, and myself.
You're cleaning the floor. I'm not cleaning the floor.
All right. You know, when it came time to think of musical entertainment for this, I, of course, thought of myself. And one other name that came to mind. The voice of an angel somewhere between Fergie and Jesus, I believe, is how it's often been described in so many other ways. A man with a take and a throat. Danny Parkins.
That is graphic. Hello, boys. I'm sorry I'm not able to watch with you. I assume that my record sales are going to skyrocket after joining this halftime show, just like for the Super Bowl halftime show, you know, because they don't pay the artist to do the Super Bowl halftime show, but they say, oh, it's so worth it for, you know, Bruce Springsteen to sell albums. So, you know, I'm putting myself obviously in that category. I know this just makes me the devil or whatever, but man, I'm just so happy that Elijah Hicks is learning how to win. When he defends that touchdown against Christian Watson, and he looked like his head was spinning around at the end there. So when Rodgers drives him down the field and the Pack go up 17-16, Fields will be developing and the Bears will still be in line for the second pick in the draft. So without further ado, because people did question whether or not Justin Fields could throw the ball and throw from the pocket, we decided to amend an oldie but a goodie. Dust it off a little bit. Here you go. Let Him Throw, part two. You know I'm going to nail it. There's really no doubt here. Let him throw. Let him throw. Let him drop back a little more. Let him throw, let him throw, and we'll love you on the score. We don't care how the Packers play. Let him throw the damn ball.
Wait, don't move till
he's done. The Bears could learn how to win today.
There it was. Musical guest.
Tanny, did you feel like that was a huge waste of your time turning off the NFL on Fox? How did you feel rolling on an IG Live with that performance there.
Yeah, I got to say, usually halftime for me is, all right, let's take a little break. Let's hit the bathroom, grab a snack. Like, it's been a long first half, taking notes, pulling clips on a Sunday. It's like an extra work day.
Yeah.
And then to be told, oh, I got to wait for this. Then you're like waiting, like, where's this link? Am I going to be able to catch it live? And then to find out that Fox, they were talking about Justin Fields, so I had to go back this morning and pull that. Like, well, that's what I want to do anyway. Just watch that
you ended up getting two halftime shows.
Yeah. That's which not, is not equal one whole halftime show.
Sure. Sounds like you were kind of like Danny when I called in the morning and asked him if he wanted to do it.
Oh, no. He waits the morning?
Oh, he waited till like right before.
11:40. 11:40
or so. See,
that's
surprising because that sounds like something that was spent a lot of time worked on throughout the course of the weekend the day.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, we spent 5 whole minutes on this.
Yes.
5 whole minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
No, I was very indifferent, but Spiegs was so earnest.
I was so excited about it.
Spiegs, I love that. We're getting Pat in the mix with long snap and the long snapper IPA. Way to drop that snap, by the way.
Oh, God.
And now,
it was a perfect snap,
back
too.
Back to the studio. Check out our SoundCloud page for the rest of Justin Fields Forever. Here is the longest tenured Bear in their franchise history, Pat Manley. Long snapping is a real position. Snapping. Yes, snapping to Matt Spiegel. Little field goal.
All right. I'm not getting all the way down, but I'm going to catch it. Whoa! Oh, no!
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sad. I dropped the beer.
You dropped
the long snap.
A perfectly snapped long snapper IPA.
It was perfect. I was like Tony Romo in Seattle. But I opened it and drank it, and Pat had a sip with me. But yeah, so it was great. And we might do another halftime show sometime during a Bears game. Thank you to Kevin Lapka and Adam Studzinski for stepping up. That was a very, very fun thing to do. But I'm told that Fox like was glowing in their praise about Justin Fields.
Hired a young man from the Ohio State University. Kevin Lapka is his name.
I don't know why anyone would have watched the award-winning Fox NFL halftime when they could get that production value of me singing and Pat Manley snapping a beer to Matt Spiegel on Instagram. But sure, just for the sake of argument, let's hear what the highest rated NFL halftime show had to say about the Bears franchise quarterback.
All right, Sean, look, Chicago's lost 5 games in a row, but they found their quarterback, no question.
Yeah, and we go all the way back to that Thursday night game where we talked about the weekend where Eberflus and the staff got together and they really said, hey, how do we find plays that put not only their quarterback, but their offense in better positions. And you're watching the first half here. I mean, great throw here in space. He's got the arm strength down the field, Justin Fields. But here's a little read, zone read option. He keeps it, slides, gets his yards. Watch this, though. He becomes the only quarterback. He ties Johnny Lujack as the only quarterbacks
Johnny
that have rushed.
Lujack. Not a soul out there knows who that is.
6 straight rushing touchdowns. For
the
him.
Great Johnny Lujack.
And that little dance at the end, that was for the Buckeyes sneaking their way into the playoffs.
You know, I believe Johnny Lujack was the last Chicago Bear quarterback to make the Pro Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. That's how far back that goes.
But Johnny Lujack was 1950, by the way.
Exactly.
Just to be clear.
I know that. Yeah.
Well, people at home didn't know that. Nor was I even considered back then with Johnny. In respect to him, though. But one thing I like about Justin Fields is a lot of what we saw with Jalen Hurts. People discounted him, said he can't do it. A game doesn't transfer from college to the pros, but these young men have worked their way into being great NFL quarterbacks, and I know Justin Fields has a long way to go, but I just love the fact that this versatility, once he runs the ball, he is fast for a 235-pound guy. He's outrunning defensive backs. So it's almost like you have another running back. Just long as he learns to get down, don't take hits.
They have their quarterback. That's a plus.
Yep.
They've got over $100 million next year in cap space and a boatload of picks.
A lot of money.
That's the only right thing for the Bears. I have with these running quarterbacks, if you lose your running quarterback, you lose your quarterback. If you lose a running back, you still have your leader at quarterback.
But you got to learn to get down. Yeah. That's the thing. Get down.
He's doing it.
Yeah, he is doing it.
That is praise. It's just so amazing to hear the definitive the Bears have their quarterback, because someone earlier texted in, they were like, Danny, you were all in on Trubisky and Nagy the first year. It was different, though. It really was.
Sure, like, it was more coach than it was quarterback.
It was more coach than quarterback, and the quarterback, it was all about hope. It was like, he's going to take the leap, right? He's going to take that leap. Year 3 in the NFL, year 2 in the system. 24 touchdowns, 12 picks. Imagine what he's going to do once he's got more continuity in the system. He's going to take that leap. It was all about what was going to happen. This is what is happening. You know, and he doesn't have the great defense with the 36 takeaways. He doesn't have Allen Robinson. Like, Fields has less, is doing more, and it's less about projection and more about what he is able to do with the lack of supporting cast around him.
You are seeing the development in real time as well. Like, there were moments during that game, certain throws, certain plays, you're like, there it is.
Yeah.
In a very, very different way, because we know what we're looking for. We've gotten smarter with the help of Trent Dilfer and others in terms of what we're looking for, and now we're starting to see it. And it was on display a lot yesterday.
Speaking of getting smarter, if I'm curious, when you watch the rest of the NFL, and there were amazing games yesterday, especially in the noon and 3 o'clock window, if you find yourself, as I often do, thinking about how it applies to team building around Justin Fields. I want to throw some thoughts at you next on The Score.
It is second down and three. Ball inside the 30. Hurts back. Pumps, looks, he is floating it deep for A.J. Brown, who has it,
he took it,
and he scores! A.J. Brown took it away from Trey Avery and scored his second touchdown of the game.
A.J. Brown had his revenge against the Titans, who traded him away and did not want to pay him. He's flourishing for Philly, who has the best record in the NFL. We'll talk to Jalen Johnson in 15 minutes.
That is the voice of 80-year-old Merrill Reese, the Phillies play-by, or the Eagles play-by-play guy, iconic voice, who must be enjoying the hell out of this team.
Oh, I mean, what's not to love other than the fact that it makes Philadelphia sports fans happy? Because they are a miserable bunch. But it, when I think about that team, Jalen Hurts was, you know, the 53rd pick in the draft, right? He was not a blue chip prospect. He was not a certainty by any means. But they have arguably the best offensive line in football. They have Devontae Smith. They trade for A.J. Brown and pay him. And they've got studs on defense. And they have an offensive coaching staff. And they have a commitment to running the ball. It's like the perfect spot for a quarterback, and I don't think it's taking away from Jalen Hurts, but it's just acknowledging, like, he's kind of got it all around him, and I wonder how instructive that's going to be for other teams, because I think the prevailing wisdom is, like, is it going to be Will Anderson or is it going to be Jalen Carter with where the Bears end up in the draft? And based on, you know, draft grades, that might end up being the correct debate to have, and we'll do it a lot, but Jalen Hurts is surrounded and supported. They had Devontae Smith. They got another receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have an all-pro center. They also have a great right tackle and a good left tackle. You know, like, there isn't a spot on – Dallas Goedert's hurt now, but, like, they also have a good tight end. Like, there isn't a spot on that offense around that quarterback that they haven't made a significant investment in.
I don't know if you can build like that intentionally. It's very difficult because it's like the happenstance that Seattle had when they found Russell Wilson as a cheap rookie. Jalen Hurts is a cheap young quarterback.
Yep.
They were. Did they pay Carson Wentz? Did they trade him before he got paid? No, they paid him.
No,
right?
They paid. They
paid him.
Paid him and then traded him away.
So they paid him, but once they traded him away, they're like, oh, look at this. If we really are going with this guy,
yeah,
then we have all these resources available. I mean, put that along with really good offensive line building and happening to have hired a coaching staff like that, and they drafted Devontae, but, like, you can afford to go out and trade for and pay an A.J. Brown to add in when you've got the quarterback on the cheap deal.
Well, and the Bears have the quarterback on the cheap deal, but it's going to be very, very, very hard for Ryan Poles to maximize that because of how bad the rest of the roster is.
Well, but also, but Justin Fields is a first-round cheap deal as opposed to Jalen Hurts. Was it
a second-round
deal?
Yeah, Russell Wilson. It's still cheap, man. I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? It's still,
it's going into year three and not year two.
But it gets expensive in year five. You know what I mean? What's Justin Fields' base salary this year?
I'll check.
$7 million or something? You know what I mean? I'm
something
just,
manageable.
It's super cheap. So I think it's the type of right. So it is.
Yeah,
his cap hit is $4 million this year.
Yeah,
$4 million. So it's super cheap this year, next year, and the year after that. Then the fifth year option will be very expensive in 2025. So you get
it's just a $5 million cap hit in 2023 and a $6 million cap hit in 2024.
So you have a very cheap quarterback contract for the next 2 years.
Hmm.
But why it's going to be so hard for Ryan Poles is because the rest of the roster is so bad. Like, when people cite Russell Wilson, they had the defense. When people cite Ben Roethlisberger, when he got the Super Bowl, when he was on his rookie deal, they had the defense. You had a bunch of other players. Ryan Poles was transitioning away from Ryan Pace's old expensive roster. Why there's all this dead cap space this year. So, like, next year, this offseason's huge, but you can roll over cap space. Your shot to, like, really win, and we'll see how big of a leap Justin Fields makes, and if he's an MVP, maybe you can win something next year. But, like, the shot to really win is going to be 2024. That's going to be your year where you got one more year of Fields on the rookie deal before he gets expensive. And not that you can't win after that and you're happy to pay the quarterback because the Chiefs have paid Mahomes and they're thrilled.
But the formula changes after that.
The formula changes after if the quarterback is truly worth, you know, the $50 million per year that those guys get once they hit the cap and they've been paid like that.
No, that makes sense. You know, it's funny because the offensive line being what it is in Philly, and how about that defensive line, man? They got a lot.
It's an incredibly talented team, and they have a top 10 pick.
Yeah. And they've got a D lineman, a real good one coming up. Javon Hargrave is 30 years old and is coming up and will be a free agent, but they just went out and got Ndamukong Suh, and who's the other one that they signed? They signed two interior linemen to the identical deals to try and go for it for this particular season.
Yeah, I mean, and Darius Slay's having an all-pro caliber year. James Bradbury's still there. Fletcher Cox is there. Brandon Graham is there. I mean, they have a very talented defense and a very talented offense and are in a great position for the draft and a great position with their quarterback. They would have, what pick would they have? They would have the sixth pick in the draft if it ended today.
Unbelievable.
From New Orleans. So they would be able, you know, whatever they wanted. That would be the definition of best player available, just add to an already stacked roster to continue to support your team. So I don't know where they would go. You know, I think if they think some of their defensive players are getting a little old, whatever the case may be. But I look around and I continue to think about Herbert having Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Rashawn Slater, and Corey Linsley.
Yeah.
A center, a left tackle, two receivers, and a running back. Burrow having Higgins and Mixon and Chase. And then they spent the money this offseason on offensive line. Like, Mahomes obviously have, you know, Tyreek before they trade him, Travis Kelce, multiple huge investments in the offensive line. I think about the teams that have the young quarterbacks that we're hoping that Fields is going to be competing with for a while.
Yep.
They support them with offensive supporting cast too. Now, if there's not a guy there with the second or third pick that meets your grade, fine. Then do it in free agency. Do it with your second round pick. Do it with your third round pick. But like, just because Fields is making magic happen right now with almost nothing around him, I want them to still be aware of what these other quarterbacks, these other young dual threat quarterbacks are doing. They've got a ton of like high value draft picks and free agents and veterans on the offensive side of the ball as well.
The late time slot for Red Zone ended up being everything I wanted it to be. It's just unbelievable. Dolphins and Niners with Tua Tagovailoa rattled by the rush and becoming inaccurate a bunch of times. Geno Smith with such a big arm again on display. See DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey going at it all afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then Bengals Chiefs with all those playmakers everywhere. And Ja'Marr Chase might be the best of the playmakers.
Yeah, Kelce fumbling was very uncharacteristic for a
huge deal.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
that's three wins over the Chiefs in 2022 for the Bengals. They got him
twice in January,
and then got him this time. So the Bengals absolutely believe that they can be. And now the Bills, if they win out, they're back in line for the one seed in the AFC.
Wow.
So it just keeps switching over back and forth like that.
How about this stat? I saw this is going to be the fourth time in six seasons for Kyle Shanahan that the 49ers will have to use three different starting quarterbacks in a season. Fourth time in 6 years. In the 40 seasons before that, it happened four times for that franchise. And this is four times in 6 years for Shanahan. They've got Mr. Irrelevant as their quarterback right now. And I don't even know who their backup is.
Well, they just signed Josh Johnson.
Oh, they signed Josh Johnson. There you go.
Yeah. And we'll see if they put in a waiver claim on Baker Mayfield.
Don't bother. Don't bother on Baker.
Another great Vikings beat the Jets, even though Berrios dropped one in the end zone when Mike White tried to play the hero. Vikings are 10-2, point differential of plus 10. Worst point differential for a 10-2 team in NFL history by far. So they are by if you like point differential as a stat as it correlates to the record, you could make a statistical argument that the Minnesota Vikings are the luckiest 10-2 team that football's ever seen. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Jalen Johnson is going to go see his daughter over the bye week. Said he doesn't think he's going to be a Pro Bowler because the Bears are an S show. Want to know what he thought of that holding penalty he got called with Randall Cobb. If him and Rodgers had any trash talk going back and forth, we'll hang out with Jalen Johnson next on The Score.
Just kind of, the Bears are just a shit show, or the Bears are this, the Bears are that.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.